If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, fair listener. Thank you for downloading The Gridiron Show. We appreciate it as always. We hope you enjoy our awards special. But just to forewarn you, this one maybe got a little bit out of hand at times and a couple of minor swears might have slipped their way through the edit process. So maybe not one to listen to around your kids, but make sure you do tweet us your opinion on all the nonsense that we do spout at Gridiron. Enjoy the show. To the Gridiron Show, and it's our pre-season, post-season award special because football is just 4 days away. 3 nights from now, you will be watching the Carolina Panthers and the Denver Broncos going at it in a Super Bowl replay in an opener for the first time in nearly 50 years. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. This is the Gridiron Show. You are listening to The Gridiron Show. Will Gavin in studio. Ollie Hunter with me as always. Good evening, Ollie. How are you, sir?
Grand. All the better for seeing not just you in the studio, but someone else too.
Have we got some kind of drum roll or tension music or something that we can use to build up to this man being here? I'd also accept the Kit Watch theme and I'd just sing his name afterwards. Whatever you can bring me, Ollie Hunter, on the ones and twos, lay it on me because I want to sing. Paolo Bandini, the legendary, the great Bandini of The Guardian, and often of this parish, we're at TalkSport 2. He's here almost as much as I am, and I work here full-time, doing the European football show and the new NFL show with Nat Coombs. Paolo, this is genuinely a real delight. How are you?
They still treat me with suspicion at the front door, though. I don't know if you get that as well, even though you sort of have a card. I feel like every
time
I come
here... Dude, that's Yassir treats everyone with suspicion.
Yeah.
But, Paolo, I have one thing to say to you.
What's that?
Oh, wait.
That's all staying in, just so you know.
Todo bem?
Todo bem?
Do you understand what that means?
Come on, mate, you're Latin.
It's Portuguese.
You're Latin!
Everything all right?
Have we got the...
You're all right?
Yeah, you're right.
Have we got the Godfather music to drop in at some point as well?
I've decided against that racial stereotyping. And believe that we can no longer do that. I'm with you, Paolo.
Right, there is a huge...
I feel so respected.
There you go.
I've got a surprise.
That's because you demand respect, particularly on the day of your daughter's wedding. This is... Look, we've got so much to get to today. There's a huge amount of news. The NFL cut its rosters down to 53, and there were a couple of shock moves and an absolutely blockbuster trade, in terms of the picks exchanged, at least. And we're going to do our preseason...
This isn't that punter one that you went on about last time, is it?
No, not the Andy Lee punter trade. That was a big one.
It's one of the most boring ones that we've ever had to talk about.
Getting a mid-round pick for a punter is pretty good work from the Browns.
I mean, they are people Sashi too,
Brown,
but really.
Brilliant. So we'll get to all of that as well. And... it's just, we've got our pre-season, post-season awards. So we did this show last year, and we'll go through some of the outcomes of last year. So this is just to give you a pre-warning. Having listened back to last year's show and heard the quality, it's the pre-season, post-season Gridiron Award Show! There we go. Been waiting for that for 5 minutes. Thanks, mate. Having listened to some of our picks from last year, they were genuinely farcical, some of them, including Matt Sherry from Gridiron, who'll be joining us on the line to make his choices later on, who decided the biggest disappointment of the 2015 season was going to be Cam Newton. 35 touchdowns, 10 rushing touchdowns, and a Super Bowl appearance later. That was not so disappointing. Whereas there were some pretty good predictions as well. Ollie, for his biggest disappointment, chose Philadelphia Eagles head coach Chip Kelly. Pretty good shout, mate. Pretty good shout,
buddy.
The
only thing I got right.
Yeah, we'll go through some of those as well because they're fun to look back on. And it just feels like this week the games are back and really the joy from like the NFL community in the UK is just radiating because we've had it announced all the games that are going to be on Sky. BBC are going to be doing radio coverage again this year. TalkSport have got their all NFL show coming up. And Tayo, who works here at TalkSport too, he works on 606 on BBC as well and knows a lot of the people involved in NFL UK media. So like, well, us guys, obviously, Paolo, he knows Mike Holt, who does the BBC show, Simon Cross, Phil Spooner, who you've heard on with Nat Coombs. And he just said, is the season about to start to me today? And it's like, yeah. And he's like, yeah, my Twitter and all of my social media is just all a buzz about the NFL all of a sudden. It's so excited. How excited are you, Paolo Bandini?
I'm pretty excited.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why we got him on.
That was underwhelming.
Yeah.
I thought I'd you know, bring the mood down a little bit. It was getting a bit carried away. No, I'm very excited. You know I am. I'm excited, but I'm also really, I'm actually a little bit stressed about this season. I'm a little bit anxious. I'm uncomfortable with the idea that people keep saying that the Cardinals are going to be brilliant. You have to understand that for someone who supported that team, and I know we've been getting better, I know everyone's been beating Bruce Arians up, but people are genuinely sort of positioning us amongst the Super Bowl favourites, and that's just not a situation that I can feel comfortable
look,
about.
We're going to be hearing from three guys today, in you and in Sherry and in Ollie, who support teams who are all being tipped for the Super Bowl this year. And then I'm relatively sure one of our preseason postseason awards is the number one overall pick for next season. And if it's not a consensus
sorry,
on the San
you,
Francisco
you're 49ers, relatively sure that one of our awards would be that. You wrote the awards list. How are you relatively sure?
The other ones that we've got for our awards, just so you know, are the Biggest Disappointment Award, also known as the 7 and 9 Bullshit Award. The first head coach to be fired, Rookie of the Year, not called Zeke Elliott, Comeback Player of the Year, Surprise All-Pro, Playoffs and Super Bowl and Winner, and the MVP. That's MVP, not of the Super Bowl, of the whole season. I'll clarify that after last season's cock-up. And loads of yours off Twitter as well, so you can get in touch with us at Gridiron and letting us know the ones you want to hear from us as well.
All right, great. Let's get some news.
Is there anything anyone wants to touch on before we get some news? Is there anything
college football,
personal life that people want to bring in?
Nothing personal, but college football.
College football did come back this weekend, and it was an amazing weekend. The best slate of games for an opening weekend in college in a very long time. The standout moment of the weekend for me was the LSU defeat, but not only the defeat, the last minute penalty where it was the ball was picked off, and it was one of the most flagrant like dead ball penalties I've ever seen, where he just takes the guy out when the play is clearly
it's
done.
Unbelievable. Have you seen it, Paolo?
Incredible.
I don't actually think I have, no.
You're a disgrace. It's Wisconsin picks off the LSU quarterback, and he's as you know in college, as soon as you go to ground, even if you're not hit, the play's over. So he's gone to ground. Everybody knows the play's over. He's done a little bit of a celebration. They've pretty much won the game with 50 seconds to go, and then this offensive lineman just comes in and shoulder barges this little cornerback. He's smaller than me.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. The helmet was down. The shoulder was forward. He trucked that guy to the floor. It was brutal.
It's one of the worst things you'll ever see.
We were going to do a look around the first weekend of the college on today's show, and Simon Clancy was going to join us, but he decided the Paralympics in Rio were too important. Am I not allowed to make jokes about the Paralympics in Rio? Is that not seen as socially acceptable?
Paolo and I would like to distance ourselves.
I'm not dissing the Paralympics or the Paralympians.
From Will Gabbett.
More Simon Clancy deciding that we're not important enough.
Ironically, you look a little bit like Andy from Little Bricket.
I'm the one being offensive. You are a ludicrous human being. Right, let's get to the news then. And the huge news from Cuts Day and beyond was that the Minnesota Vikings, as we discussed on the last show, Teddy Bridgewater goes down. Who are they going to bring at quarterback? Sean Hill, great backup quarterback, not someone you want for a full 16-game season. They go and they give a first and a fourth round pick, which can be upgraded to a third or second round based on performance. So a fourth round pick for Sam Bradford from the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, this
first
is incredible.
Of all, Howie Roseman is a genius.
He is a genius. to get rid of Bradford and his cat and his salary and stuff. But I saw Minnesota Vikings fans on social media going, "Oh, hopefully we can tank it, get a low first round, give up a low first round pick, and therefore we've got value." You idiots! Why would you?
No, you're not tank it. A low first round pick. You have to do well.
No. Yeah. Okay. So. Okay. I stuffed that.
That makes much more sense.
Yeah.
Before the pick, they were certainly talking about whether or not the season was worth it. The kind of first big question, Bradford for me, not necessarily worth a first and a fourth. I'm probably underselling it. There's a few big questions on this, and the main one is Sam Bradford the difference between making the Vikings a contender come January and even February, or is he just a placeholder for the next year and a half till Teddy Bridgewater's back?
Well, I sort of just wanted to pull back on Sam Bradford to you saying with the biggest disappointment your favourite award, the 7-9 bullshit award. Let's look at Sam Bradford's teams that he has started on since he came into the league. So the 2010 St. Louis Rams, they were 7-1. They were 7-9. Yeah, that's 2010. 2011.
They only go 7-9.
Yeah. Well, no, 2011, admirably, he did. I mean, he only played 10 games in 2011, but admirably, he did break the trend by going 2-14. 2012, 7-8-1. 2013, again, he only started 7 games because Sam Bradford, so he's never going to start, well, rarely going to start 16 games. 2013, 7-9 again. 2014, he missed the whole year, so we'll skip that one. 2015, he was in Philadelphia, they went 7-9.
So the exact stats that I saw on Twitter was that he has 25 wins in the last 5 seasons, and they've given up a first and a fourth round pick for him. It's absolute craziness. Howie Roseman, how he's managed to turn around. I don't think they ever would have gone out and traded for Sam Bradford last year if they'd known that Carson Wentz was in play and that they could go out and get him. And we'll talk about Wentz as well. He's been announced the starter for week one. We will get to that. But he's now managed to turn that around into almost getting a bulk of his picks back, getting the top guy that he wanted in the draft, and his roster looking better than it did a week ago. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it feels a bit like how you imagine PSG felt when they managed to get David Luiz back to Chelsea at 35 million. Actually, we've managed to turn that one around. But no, I mean, what makes it even more mad for me, well, I sort of understand. Well, I don't understand. I'm not in the Warren, but I can imagine what has happened in Minnesota, which they've looked at the team they've got, which is genuinely a really good team. And you look at it particularly for the fact that Adrian Peterson, he's 31. He's not going to carry on going forever. And you think maybe we had a team that was ready to make a run here. At least that's what they thought in the building. They were ready to make a run. And you try and fix it as best you can to make the run. But the problem is, as well as on top of everything else, on top of how I feel about Sam Bradford as a quarterback generally, he's coming in like a week before the start of the season, mm-hmm. with no time to learn the offense, which is not a small deal. That's not pick it up.
Throwing to Stephon Diggs, who's only in his second year as a viable starter. Laquon Treadwell, who's a rookie and admittedly looked like the most pro-ready rookie, and he's a big guy and he can catch in traffic, but doesn't, you know, that's not... Kyle Rudolph, who only rates him a tight end. He's never production to actually be that. Okay, he's got Adrian Peterson there, but... I question whether or not, if they hadn't just cut the ribbon on a billion-dollar, brand-new, beautiful glass roof stadium, if they hadn't done that, would they have gone out and spent all of this on getting what looks like a franchise quarterback, because they know they need to be able to sell that to the team and be able to say, look, we need success this year, particularly Adrian Peterson, probably in his last year in Minnesota. Maybe he has 2 years left, but last year is a viable top-tier starter at his age. Just all of that combined points to why they've done this. And even though I've stated on previous podcasts, love Mike Zimmer, this just isn't the right move. I'm sorry, it's just... And what it's done for me, and there's been a couple of other moves that happened around I was going to call it transfer deadline day, around cuts day, that have thrown the NFC North completely up in the air for me. And I had done my NFC picks already before. Who's my wild card? Who's my NFC North winner? Who else gets in there as well? We'll get on to what the Packers, and they've been doing utterly ludicrously, Ollie, in just a moment's time. Be prepared to discuss that and have the sad music ready. But there were a couple of other quarterback moves that happened. Austin Davis signed with the Denver Broncos off the back of Mark Sanchez becoming the new signal caller with the Cowboys.
Is he, though, ahead of Dak Prescott?
No, what's expected is basically that Dak Prescott will still start from week one, but will be on a very short leash.
Fine.
For the same reason Paolo's just said, he's just coming into a new system. And admittedly, Dallas is a reasonably simple system, zone blocking system. You know, you've got
lob it to Dez Bryant, and everyone's fine.
And that's kind of the difference between this and the Bradford trade is that yes, he's got talent around him, but the level of talent that Mark Sanchez walks into with the best line in the league, one of the best rookies we've seen come out of the draft in the last 5 or 10 years in terms of ceiling, in terms of talent.
And a top 10 wide receiver.
There, yeah. Jason Witten, who admittedly is on the latter end of his career, but is Tony Gonzalez-esque in how he will continue to produce and be there as a safety blanket. So he walks into a much better situation. And actually, yeah, I think Sanchez to the Cowboys is probably the more sensible move. That's really saying something about the butt fumbler, isn't it?
God, it really is. Really is.
But the other move that really stunned me on Cuts Day was that the Bears, they were involved eventually. The Packers, so desperate they were to cut Josh Sitton, that Ollie, what the great news is we don't have to change our all NFC North team, because Josh Sitton, who was the first name on there for our offensive line, isn't leaving the NFC North. He signs a 3-year deal with the Chicago Bears. Suddenly, the Packers have what was a position of strength go to a potential position of weakness. And the Bears have maybe the best inside line in a good chunk of the NFL outside of Dallas, maybe the best inside line in the entire league. It's craziness.
I mean, it is craziness. And I was flabbergasted and astounded why we would get rid of an all-pro, I think he's seven-time all-pro guy. However,
I think seven-time pro bowler, three-time all-pro.
That's seven-time pro bowler. But however, looking at a Rob Domofsky, friend of the show,
do love Rob Domofsky.
He says that there was more to it than meets the eye. Josh Sitton publicly criticised the offensive play calling after the defeat to the Cardinals in Week 16. Not even in the playoffs.
Everyone did, because the offensive play calling was terrible for the
everyone
Packers
did.
Last year.
2 weeks later, when this was put to Mike McCarthy said, and I quote, "Josh Sitton needs to play guard instead of bellyaching about play calling." So there's a lot more to meets the eye with this. However, they are getting rid of a guy who's got loads of experience, which is something that Aaron Rodgers needs in front of him. It barely gets injured, and now he's gone to a divisional rival. Okay, it is the Bears, but it is a...
I'm gutted.
From a football point of view, it's baffling.
I'm gutted that I consistently passed on Jeremy Langford in fantasy draft, saying it's a flash in the pan, he's not going to do it again this year, because actually he's suddenly got a line that means that he doesn't need to be a good running back to be gaining 4 yards a carry and be carrying a workload. And for the Bears, I'm starting to warm to them. I'm jumping on the Bears bandwagon a little bit here.
Come on, just remember Dixon.
Well, yeah, there is that. Yeah. But look, it's... What stuns me is that it's not like the Packers aren't a contender. If the 49ers or the Browns or someone like that have a player belly aching about the coaching, the play, whatever else it might be, and they decide, right, that guy might be a guy who's been with us a long time, he might be an all-pro, but we don't need that in the locker room while we're trying to rebuild. Let's just get rid, because we're in a rebuilding process anyway. You were my pick to take the Super Bowl this year, and I know a guard shouldn't change that, but it has.
You are an unbelievable human being.
The Packers, just a little bit of a preview towards our end of season awards, are no longer my Super Bowl pick. And despite the fact I've been banging on the Packers drum for the last 3 months, because it just shows a mentality for me that is the wrong way to be approaching it. Ted Thompson consistently has considered team building and being frugal and everything else more important than going out and getting that second championship for Aaron Rodgers, or third, or fourth, because there is that potential there, and it's a disgrace.
Didn't someone tweet us and say that the Packers are the Arsenal over the NFL?
No, I tweeted, the Packers the Arsenal
of
the NFL.
That was you?
That was actually me that tweeted that.
Ted Thompson, quite a good analogy.
Is the Arsene Wenger, and they are the Arsenal of the NFL. Yeah. The Bears also did sign Carl Long to a $40 million contract extension, completing the two guards that do now look so impressive there, whereas the Packers are going to be starting possibly Lane Taylor.
It seems so, yeah.
Fourth year pro.
Yeah, I mean,
2013 undrafted free agent.
But to be fair, he came in and played across the line last season when we had various offensive linemen go. saying that makes it even more ridiculous that we've lost him, Josh Sitton. But he came in and didn't disgrace himself, actually played really well across the line. So he's someone that's done it before, has come in, Aaron Rodgers trusts, but You know, Paolo, I don't know whether you've got any further thoughts on this, but
yeah, I'm
kind of sad.
I was just putting my hat on something I read earlier, which is it's just some guy who's written about this suggestion propagated in an oral history of the Packers with Pat Pepler, who was Vince Lombardi's director of player personnel, where he talked about Lombardi being a coach who always got rid of guys at the when they sort of reached that tipping point of around 30 and moved people on. Mm. And that was sort of one of his calling cards. And I get that argument to a point, but and I do think there's something in being a coach who's smart enough to know when to cut the tie and make the next step, and then that way you can but to me that's about extracting value. You know, you could have traded a guy like Josh Sitton.
It's always been the pro one of the big arguments for Bill Belichick beyond just his coaching ability has been that he knows when to get rid of a guy, and he always likes to go early. But
And there's also something in that that's not just about the guy you're getting rid of. It's about reminding the locker room that it's not about one guy. It's about A, the team, and B, me, I'm the head coach, and you know what, I'm more important than all of you. Even if it's not an explicit message of that, that is sort of the message. And look, McCarthy's won a lot of games in Green Bay, and I don't for a second believe that the Packers won't be in the playoffs again this year.
My kind of feeling on it, I still have them going to the playoffs, and I keep spoiling later on, but the fact is that this move just says to me they most of that offensive line is in a contract year. Mm. And I just think you weren't able to trade him. We know they were trying to trade him. They didn't get the value they wanted, so they end up cutting him. Just keep him around for a year. It's a contract year, so regardless of his belly aching, he has to play to a decent level if he wants to get a starting job next year. And go for that championship and then let him go at the end of the year.
I mean, I suppose the other thing I will say on that,
I know we're talking a lot about an interior offensive lineman, but the overall arching issues apply to many players in the league and many teams.
And it was a very surprising cut. And I just think the other thing there with a player like this, with the situation it is, with what Ollie said about the Week 16 game against Arizona, you feel like if it was something that he knew was an issue, McCarthy, this would have been done before the preseason games even began. It makes me think that there is something that's gone on in preseason that has made him think, this is an untenable situation. This guy is in some way damaging the locker room. I don't know what that is. I have no insight into that whatsoever, but I just don't. There has to be something that's more to this than what we've seen.
Well, no, McCarthy says, once again, there's a lot that goes into this decision. So he's seen the whole of training camp. He's seen some of the preseason games. He's obviously worked different combinations across that offensive line.
Yep.
Perhaps, like Peyton Manning reached his ceiling, Josh Sitton reached his ceiling, and that's something that he saw. And decided, right, let's just get rid. I've had a few issues personally with the player as well. Get rid. It's really interesting.
Paolo.
Yes.
What's your favourite Elton John song? This was an awards category last year, and I still to this day don't know why. Clancy went for Tiny Dancer. Sherry went for Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Oh, get out, Sherry.
This problem. I said Rocket Man. Ollie said Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. I, in the last 12 months... have switched allegiances to Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, but specifically the George Michael and Elton John version. Have you heard that version? Incredible.
I need to ask a question about this, because this came up, and obviously I was presented this invitation to come on the show, and it was the postseason.
It was an official invitation.
It was an invitation to take part in the Great Gridiron postseason, preseason awards show, right?
Yeah.
So I am supposed to be...
We will get
to
those awards
I'm
as well,
supposed
by the
to
way.
Be, but that's what I need to know, Will, because this is a different question. Are you asking me what my favourite Elton John song is, or are you asking me what my favourite Elton John song will be at the end of the season?
Oh, wow! I can't wrap my head around that. Mind officially blown. What's your favourite Elton John song right now? That's the big question.
That's a tough one. I mean,
think about it. Let's get on to the rest of the news, right, so we can do those postseason, preseason awards. There we go. You got there eventually. Thanks, Ollie. quite a lot of Week 1 news coming out this week. Carson Wentz has been named the Eagles starting quarterback. Doug Peterson said that the rookie will make the start on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, not many better defences to have your first NFL start against. Obviously, they also went out and spent this money on Daniels in the off-season as well. But I think the fact is that they knew that he was going to be the backup to Sam Bradford. And then when Sam Bradford went, they might as well go, well, rather than putting Chase Daniels in, let's throw the dice and give Carson Wentz a go. We spent all this capital on him. We're not a team who are necessarily going to compete at the top level this year. Let's see what the kid can do.
Yeah, I agree. I don't really see at the point of trading Bradford. And I think that if you are the Eagles in the situation they're in, where I don't think that, well, maybe they do view themselves as a contender. I don't view them as a contender. I think if someone comes along and offers you that money for Sam Bradford, then you obviously bite their arm off. And yeah, it's a slightly awkward situation. You didn't want to throw him in straight away. But I don't know that I buy this idea that if you put a rookie in too soon, you're going to ruin him forever. I mean, unless he literally injures himself, it's all a learning curve anyway. And you can sit a rookie for a year and he'll still have to come in and have a learning curve at some point.
And we'll talk, there's at least one more rookie quarterback we want to talk about in this situation, but I think you're right, as long as they are developed over time. We saw it happen with Blake Bortles in the first year, that actually he had a massive drop-off after maybe 7 or 8 starts because actually he'd never played that many games consistently. He was being hit so often because the line was so bad. And his arm just looked tired by the end of the season. He generally looked like he'd just thrown the ball too much. And in his second year, he made a big leap forward, and a lot of that was to do with his fitness and his conditioning. So yeah, I'm with you on that, and certainly that conversation will continue into the awards. Trust me. Steelers have placed Bud Dupree on injured reserve. No, Ollie, I don't know what's happened to Alvin Dupree.
Okay,
I just
good.
Know that Bud Dupree has been placed on injured reserve.
Thanks.
It's a massive blow for the Steelers' defence. Dupree set for a big, big role this year. Number 22 overall pick in 2015. The outside linebacker slowly brought in last season, but ended the season with 4 sacks, 26 tackles in 5 starts. Pretty impressive stuff. It's a big, big loss for a Steelers team that just seems to be having them constantly. They also went away and traded for the Browns' Justin Gilbert. The Browns keep getting value for all these busts. It's amazing.
It's unbelievable.
Like what they got for Barkevious Mingo, getting, you know, the Andy Lee trade, which we're not allowed to talk about, but getting a 6th round pick for the former first overall from the Steelers. Pretty impressive stuff. Colin Kaepernick, because this thing has continued. I don't know how you feel about the whole Colin Kaepernick situation, Paolo. We gave a lot of our view on it last week. I'll just say two things. Firstly, that in the last 2 weeks since this has all come out, they've sold more Colin Kaepernick jerseys than they did in the last 12 months combined.
That's insane, isn't it?
People obviously just love a political stance. I love that we saw in the Seahawks preseason game a couple of the players also sitting throughout there. So I think Jeremy Lane, the cornerback, sat, as did...
Didn't Eric Reid from...
Eric Reid also sat from the 49ers.
But that was against
the
Chargers, wasn't it?
We've got other people who are joining in, particularly when it's that kind of rivalry between those two teams, but they're rising above that for something they stand in. And now Obama has weighed in.
Bama!
Not Bama, the one you were watching this weekend in the college football.
Do you think that's his college team?
Bama!
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
I love the idea that he's sitting there watching and doing exactly that.
Yeah.
Oh, Bama!
It's definitely Michelle Obama's team. Oh, Bama!
Oh.
Can you do that? You can't do that, can you?
I don't think so, no. Interestingly, there has been a...
If I get whisked into a back of a, I don't know, some sort of unmarked car because of that...
We don't live in the
I'll
United
be in
States.
Area 51.
You have a constitutional right to say that, don't you worry. But this came out after this week, the San Francisco Police Union... We've got a serious tone for a moment, guys. The San Francisco Police Union said that they might not work 49ers games if Colin Kaepernick continued sick. So, as the guy from the Washington Post put it, the people who are meant to defend the constitutional rights of citizens are going to protest if a black guy does something which is for his constitutional rights. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes them look stupid, but Obama's come out and said Kaepernick has the constitutional right to protest. We should allow him to do it, whether you agree with his methods or his thought. It's his right to do so. So, Bama is behind it. We're all in. We're all in. I asked you briefly. What was your thought on the situation?
I mean, I think that the only relevant point there is the one which Obama has made, which is that it is his constitutional right to do it.
The one in which we make a joke about Michelle Obama is the only relevant point.
No, I mean, I'm pleased that that happened because I'm so bored of this already and it's going to drag on for weeks that I think that Ollie has at least made it fun.
Thanks, man. It's the light and the shade that we bring here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Good. Arian Foster will start over Jay Ajayi in the Dolphins opener. That's been confirmed. I think more than anything, that's about Arian Foster's fitness. I think we expected it based
on real surprise.
Overall skill level. The Niners have cut Bruce Miller. Bit of fullback chat. After assault charges, because the 49ers can't buy a break. Malik Jackson has said the Jaguars are going to surprise some people. Well, will they make the playoffs in our preseason, postseason, end of season awards? Who knows? We'll get to that in a moment. Justin Forsett has re-signed with the Ravens. His departure didn't last long, as was speculated about at the time. He was set to make $3 million in 2016. They cut him and hoped he'd pass through waivers on the basis that no one would be willing to pay a 30-year-old running back that sort of money. He did get through waivers, and they're going to bring him back on a much cheaper, much more team-friendly deal.
I think that makes sense. He didn't have a great season last season. It showed, I think, 2014 was... I think maybe a flash in the... Not a flash in the pan, but it was an anomaly for Justin Forsett's career, and now he's getting a right amount of money for his talent.
My problem with this is I want to ask you about the teams as we go along, but I think we can get into it with the awards. The Texans are a team a lot of people are supporting this year as maybe retaking the AFC South, despite that division getting much tougher, and they've had a couple of really good bits of news in the last 48 hours. J.J. Watt has passed a physical, returned to Texas practice, and been removed from the PUP list before the start of the season. He may even play some snaps in their week one game. Some speculation he might miss a few weeks with this injury. And Dwayne Brown, their star left tackle, has also come off the PUP list as well. Not necessarily expected to start the season, but has been removed from the physically unable to perform list and should be, which prevents him from missing the first 6 weeks of the season. Two big bits of news for the Texans, particularly with that new offensive pieces.
The Dwayne Brown bit is sort of almost not that essential, because JJ will just slot in at left tackle while also snapping himself the ball, throwing a pass,
catching it.
Yeah.
One of the only Bears that Ollie Hunter actually likes, Devin Hester, has agreed to a one-year deal with the Ravens and is still in the league.
Only because he hates you.
He's got to be about 80 by now. Apparently he's only a 10-year veteran. I'm not sure that's true. Randy Gregory is still facing a 10-game suspension. He had it confirmed that his 4-game suspension for the substance abuse violation has been upheld, and he's waiting to find out if the 10-game suspension will be upheld for another substance abuse violation. The NFL will get back to him. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. And finally, the Patriots' Rob Ninkovich is facing a 4-game suspension. And there's a thing with the Patriots, and I know we'll talk about them a bit with the awards, but they are losing piece after piece after piece off both sides of the ball, and they've had injuries. They've had. Do we think that this won't affect them, or they're fine, they can go 0-4 to start the season, they'll still bounce back? Do we all do believe that, or is there anyone starting to think maybe the Patriots could be in a little bit of trouble?
Yeah, but so this is a question that I was debating with someone just the other day. I feel like it's been imprinted on my mindset about the Patriots ever since the year when Brady went down and Castle came in. They just won 11 games anyway, and then later we confirmed that Matt Castle really isn't like a great quarterback. He just took the Patriots to the Patriots. I just sort of, Even looking at it, even knowing they've got Jimmy Garoppolo, and I'm sure, fine, the Patriots, of course, going to win. But it is a totally valid question. They are going to have a guy we have zero idea if he's capable of leading a team and winning games at quarterback for 4 games. They have Tom Brady, who is at some point going to get older and get and start to show some signs of deterioration. You know, he's not a young man. I think that there are reasons to believe that this team could take a little bit of a step back. I guess the thing that is still the question that associates with that is, A, is anyone in the AFC East good enough to do anything about it if they do? And B, just how far is it? Yeah, I mean, I think I definitely expect them to take a step back with those 4 games at the beginning, and I think that people are underestimating the hole they could put themselves in if they do. And the thing is, like, even I'm saying that, I'm thinking, yeah, but I still expect them to, even if they went 0-4, I'd probably still think they'd get to 10-6 by the end of the season. But I think people have been a bit too blasé about it.
Good. I'm glad. I think Rob Ninkovich is a really big missing piece. I think how important he is to their defense is massively underrated, because we talk about how good their linebackers are and everything else. And he has been one of the most productive defensive linemen in the league, and kind of undersold how productive he's been over the last few years. And him missing 4 games in addition to everything else, All right, maybe they can go 0-4 and still win it all. But
here's the thing, though. And then even when I'm saying this, I can feel my mind. But oh yeah, but they did that Barkevius Mingo train. As you've just said, Barkevius Mingo hasn't done the thing since he came into the league. But just because it's the Patriots, I imagine.
You know, they also picked up Bishop Sankey today for their practice squad.
There you go.
One of the worst rookies I have seen play in the league. Like Trent Richardson's second year bad, Bishop Sankey was.
Right, but don't you just half expect
that he is
Barkevius Mingo, 9 to 11 sacks, and Bishop Sankey to come in and just slot into that offense and start
average 100 yards over the last four weeks of the season,
and all the Patriots fans like Sherry going, "We told you so."
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the man himself, this episode's been very sweary, guys. Speaking of the man himself, let's get to our drum roll, please, Ollie Hunter. I know you're entering in the little swear thing, so I'll give you a second just to do that. Because we're going to dial Matt Sherry up, and it's time for our... Gridiron postseason, preseason, something like that, award show! So joining us now for our award is the editor of Gridiron, Matt Sherry. He joined us last year. Matt, how are you, sir?
Never better.
Are you going to be making better predictions this year than that Cam Newton will be the biggest disappointment, which was your call last year?
Unlikely.
The point being is that, you know, the consensus pick for first head coach fired last year was Jay Gruden. They made the playoffs last year.
I actually have a worse Matt Sherry prediction that I'd like to just raise for everybody.
Does it involve him hitting a 60-yard field goal?
Yes, it does. It does involve him hitting a 60-yard field goal. That was a clear and firm prediction that he made to me before failing to hit an extra point distance field goal.
I'm not going to talk about this.
Sherry, has your favourite Elton John song changed in the last 12 months?
What did I say it was last month? Can you feel the love tonight?
You said it was Can You Feel the Love Tonight. Yeah, you did. Nothing's changed. Excellent.
At least that's consistent. I respect that, actually.
Yeah, I flip-flopped. I feel like a sham.
Mine's not changed.
Paolo.
Well, I'm still hung up on this issue of whether I'm saying my favourite Elton John song or am I predicting my favourite Elton John song in 6 months' time, because the evidence is that can change.
I just want
but
your
favourite
one
But I'm going
right
to say
now.
Saturday Night's Alright Fine.
Fine. Great. Great song. Done.
No, that's a great song.
Just to go through a few of our other awards from last year. Our Rookie of the Year predictions. I won't even say who came up with them, but the four that we picked were Amir Abdullah, Nelson Agholor, Shane Ray and Jameis Winston. Surprise All-Pro, I think I picked Khalil Mack here, and not only was he in the All-Pro team, he was in the All-Pro team in two different positions.
Excellent. Not remotely a surprise, though, was it, Will?
Yeah, well, you all told me it was a good pick. A year ago, no one was saying Khalil Mack was going to be an All-Pro player. Yeah. They're saying he was going to take a big jump up, but no one said he was going to be the best in the league. You had Melvin Ingram, who admittedly had a good year. Ollie had Dwayne Allen. And there was...
That's fair enough, yeah.
And the fact that we almost all picked both Indy and San Diego to make the playoffs, and three of us, picked the Dolphins to make the playoffs, should give you an idea of how much attention you should pay to about the next 25 minutes of this podcast.
When you say nearly all picked Indy.
We all picked the Indy. We're going to make the playoffs, all four of us. Yeah, you had Miami, Baltimore, Indy, San Diego, not going well so far. Then you had the Bengals and Pats as your wildcard team. And then in the NFC, you had Dallas, Green Bay, Atlanta, Arizona, Seattle, Minnesota. So it kind of takes an uprank towards the end.
It sounds very hard to believe that I picked Miami to win the AFC.
That does seem unlikely. Sherry picked the Patriots as a wildcard team.
No, he might have just listed his six and done the Pats last, but everyone else did it in an order with their wild cards as their last two. I assumed you'd do the same.
I didn't pick Indianapolis or Baltimore, and I was ridiculed for that. That was proven right.
I listened back to it this morning, Sherry. So our awards this year, we've got the biggest disappointment, also known as the 7-9 bullshit award, first head coach to be fired, the number one overall pick, our rookie of the year, not called Zeke Elliott, comeback player of the year, our surprise all pro does return, a personal favourite, and then we'll predict our playoff teams, our Super Bowl teams and our final winner, plus the MVP of the whole league. We've had some really good ones off Twitter, and Adam Foxcroft asked us a question which is near and dear to all of our hearts, Ollie Hunter. Who are going to be the division of disgrace this year? The division which theoretically could kick us out, a team with a losing record. Matt Sherry, do you think there's any division that bad in football this year?
No.
I don't think there is either, Matt. But what about the NFC East?
Yeah, if it's going to go...
That's the only one that has a chance, isn't it?
Yeah, if it's going to be any of them, and it depends a lot down to the Cowboys and what they're going to do with Dak Prescott, and we're going to talk a bit about that in a bit. But we've got a few more of your ones off Twitter. We'll get to those as well. But should we get to the first award, guys?
Yeah.
Can we have some music?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what it's worth to start with. Let's start off with... Because I really like to start off with the negativity. The biggest disappointment of the 2016 season, also known as the 7-9 Bullshit Award. Have you got my 7-9 drop yet?
Oh, yeah, wait, I could get that.
Have it ready to go. I'm going to start off on this one with Paolo Bandini. Paolo Bandini, what's going to be the biggest disappointment of this year?
I think the biggest disappointment this year is going to be the inevitable but hard to identify moment where a player that I like does something terrible off the field and then I can't like them anymore.
would you like to predict who and what they're going to do? That's more important.
I think that's the bit I should probably steer away of. But
it's definitely not going to be Carson Palmer. You're going to be fine with him.
You know what? Watching All or Nothing this off-season, which, by the way, if any listeners haven't watched it, they should be watching it because it's brilliant. It's you guys obviously know, but in case anyone doesn't, it's the documentary series that is on Amazon Prime where they follow the Cardinals through the last season. It really just kept bothering me how much Carson Palmer looks like Cap Rooney from Any Given Sunday.
Oh, he really does.
He really does.
What a shout that is.
Which basically means he looks like Dennis Quaid, obviously. But it just like every time, and the more you watch it thinking that, the more it gets in under your skin.
I always thought it was Brett Favre.
I think that's probably who I think that the Cap Rooney figure was probably originally based on Brett Favre. But I think that Carson Palmer just looks startlingly like him, just a bit more ginger.
I have to say that looking like Dennis Quaid, there's plenty of people that would be worse to look like. Talking about a man that was in the brilliant Inner Space, after all.
Yeah, I love that movie. That could be one of the greatest movies that's ever been made.
Wow, that's quite the prediction.
I think it's wonderful.
I feel like we cut across Matt Sherry there.
Is his wife as much of a bitch as Cap?
I have to say, I've never... What, Palmer's wife or Dennis Quaid's real-life wife?
Because the wife on Any Given Sunday is one of the worst human beings in film history.
Stunning. Matt Sherry, who's going to be your biggest disappointment of 2016?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh! He comes out swinging from moment one!
I think everybody just assumes that he's going to be back to MVP level, and having been one of them losers who watches a bit of the pre-season, I've seen basically the same guy who I saw for large part of last year.
But it's pre-season football, man. We know it means nothing.
It does mean nothing, but the nature of this show is to kind of make some out there predictions, and I really believe that could happen.
Ollie, would you like to either A, react, or B, just give your biggest disappointment of 2016?
I'm no longer speaking to Matthew Sherry.
Is Matt Sherry your biggest disappointment of 2016?
No, I expected exactly that from him. I've written down my biggest disappointment, but I've spelt his name wrong. I've called him Brick Osweiler.
Was that an autocorrect, or just generally how you've done it?
I've genuinely spelt his name Brick Osweiler. I don't think many people are expecting much from him, but I think he's going to be absolutely terrible.
Well, I mean, presumably, given the size of the contract they handed him, Houston are expecting...
Well, okay, there you go. That's. I think he'll be ousted by whoever is behind him.
But Houston, everyone goes the size of the contract they've given him, but he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, and actually he's been paid like the 19th best starting quarterback in the NFL, and I very much expect he'll be around and about the 19th best starting quarterback in the NFL. So they've probably paid him about the right amount of money.
I think Brock Osweiler will be about the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. And the Houston Texans will be the biggest threat to the New England Patriots in the AFC.
Wow. He's got in a New England Patriots drop already.
Yeah, who would have thought?
Can I just say, the Brick Osweiler thing, had I read that sheet, I'd have just assumed that Will had written it.
Ouch, that hurts. Well, that's deep in my soul.
Yeah, fair enough.
It doesn't. I'm a terrible writer.
Will Gavin, who would be your...
That is 7-9 bullshit.
You got there eventually, mate.
Thanks.
Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, mate, right now...
I'm telling you, that is
7-9 bullshit.
Get out.
Dak Prescott right now is going to the Hall of Fame as far as Cowboys fans are concerned. And I've just told you that preseason football means nothing. But actually, after it was established he was going to be the starter, I ridiculously did go back and watch Dak Prescott play preseason football. And what I saw was, yes, some really impressive performances, and I don't think you can deny that. He's also been dropped into the best rookie situation since probably Jay Cutler in Denver in 2006. Like, the line, the running back, the big name receiver, everything else there. But what I also saw was, he basically has two throws. He's got a great back shoulder throw, or he's got an over-the-top throw, and people will figure that out very, very quickly. He's much more comfortable in the shotgun by the looks of it, but they're a very running offense, and he's going to have to get under center, and he barely was under center unless he was running boot passes. And I just think, I don't...
Hello, Gabby Logan here, and I'm pitchside at Welland FC, where Suki and his mate Simon have arranged a kickabout to fundraise for Sport Relief. It's 11:47 on a Sunday. I think some of these players are a little worse for wear. But they're here, they've got their kit on, they're kicking against injustice and smashing poverty right out the box. They're still 2-0 down, though. Oh, but would you look at that goal! You can help change the world too. Just order your free fundraising pack at sportrelief.com. Sport Relief, it's game on. This message was brought to you by Acast.
I'm not saying he's going to be terrible, and I'm not saying he's going to be like the worst rookie we've seen in years, but Dallas are just building him up so much and so much and so much, and I think if and when Romo comes back, he comes back to a team with a losing record.
Wow.
Yeah, I disagree with that, Will.
Yeah, me too.
Fine. I'm all right with it. I stand by it, and I went bold last year, and I had maybe the best predictions. I don't know. I didn't really track them that much, but let's move...
I'd like you to map out your own ego, Billy.
I also think that...
Who would have thought that, Sherry?
That Dez Bryant is about as made of glass as Tony Romo is, and no one's talking about that either. So let's see how those Cowboys get on. When Romo comes back, they'll have a losing record, and it'll be partly down to Dak Prescott. Let's move on to our next awards. While we're on the negative awards, let's do the first head coach to be fired. Like last year, I'd be surprised if there wasn't a consensus on this award, which makes me suggest that the Buffalo Bills are probably going to the playoffs, if last season is any indicator. Because I had Rex Ryan, and I didn't even blink on this. Did anyone have any different?
Yeah.
I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Nice, okay.
I actually, you know, what's interesting is that that's not even the name that I assumed you would pick as the obvious one.
Yeah, me too. But the Rex Ryan thing... Given what's happened in the off-season, he really should get a pass this year, even if things don't go great.
You think he should get the Jason Garrett, oh, all your players have got injured, we'll let you off
award? I kind of hate it when that gets forgotten. I mean, Mike McCoy, and we'll get onto this with the Chargers later, they won 9 games in both of his first 2 seasons, and then everybody wanted him fired last year in a season where they lost most of their players. I hate when that gets forgotten about in kind of the... prisoner of the moment hyperbole world that we live in.
But so here is the thing with this award generally, because there's two different questions, which is one is who will be the first go, and the other one is who should be the first go. Because who should be the first to go, I think, is Jeff Fisher, because he's had 4 seasons of 7-9 bullshit, basically. I say that having liked
that
the man as well.
7-9 bullshit.
You know, so that's who it should be, but it's not going to be, because there's no way, having gone to all the effort of shifting everything to Los Angeles and having not fired him to this point, there's no reason.
I think if they have a losing record this
at the
year,
end of the season,
fired.
At the end of the season, yeah, I think it's not a losing record but fired. But basically, as far as I can tell, this seems to apply to his other sports team as well. Stan Kroenke doesn't really give too much of a shit as long as he's making his everything set up to keep making the money he wants. So,
not like he's going to make any of that in LA. He's going to make a load of that. So who gives a fuck if they ever win?
All right. So who was the one? Jeff Fisher is the one you're saying should, but who...
You go, Sherry. You tell me who you thought it would have been. I know I thought it would have been.
Well, Mike Mularkey, because he's the worst coach in NFL history.
But I kind of feel like if the Titans get to 7 wins this year, which they've got the roster to do even with Mike Mularkey as their head coach, they might keep him around.
Has any team got the roster to win 7 games with Mike Mularkey as head coach?
Maybe not, no. Maybe not.
Because the thing with that is it's fairly clear the new GM, who is kind of ribbon things up a little bit there at the moment isn't really a Mike Mularkey man anyway. I just think it's, I mean, it may be the end of the season, but I think Josh McDaniels will be coaching the Titans next year.
Ooh, that's a, I think that's a decent shout. Do they want an offensive coach? I'm trying. It's one of those things. Offensive coach to really get the best out of Marcus Mariota, or do you want someone in there who knows that offense could be potent, and you want someone in there to go in and fix the defense? So it's I think they're one of the teams who it's quite. I think they've got quite a wide spread of possible outcomes this year at the lower end, but I can't see them getting anything more than 7 or 8 wins.
Aren't they a franchise that's looking to change their ownership, so they don't want to get rid of someone and then bring someone else in and then change of ownership and then that potentially change it all over again? That so that's believed, why he wasn't my first choice.
That was believed why Mike Mularkey was kept on for this season, but then we've not seen any movement on that whatsoever. Mm. So
I mean, I've got a new GM now as well. I mean, the other guy, I think, if I'm looking at a team who everybody's loving at the moment, and if that team doesn't perform, is Jack Del Rio again, because he is one of the worst two coaches in the NFL.
Do you know what? That's a great shout, Sherry. That's a great shout. And there's the amount that they've spent and getting that defense and the offense kind of stacked as well. They really need to perform, and especially when people are down on the Broncos repeating. It's the time. Now's the time for the Raiders to actually do something.
Is there no thought that
they're in a mess as well? Literally, there's about 5 variables at the moment that need to go right for the Chiefs to win.
Yeah, there's a couple of teams like that at the moment, and there's like a few more. I feel like the Vikings are becoming one of those teams at the moment, despite the fact I don't think they were 2 weeks ago. Those if teams, if this happens, and if that happens, and if that happens, they could be a really good team. But when you've got 3, 4, 5 ifs, which I think the Chiefs do at the moment, that makes it very difficult. That being said, I think I've picked them to go to the playoffs, but there we go.
so we still haven't got to the ones that I was thinking.
Yeah, well, go on then.
I think mine might be the same as Paolo's.
The one that I thought everyone was going to say, because it's the shortest odds of everyone, is Mike McCoy, for San Diego playing that last season. Playing that last season in San Diego where the atmosphere could easily get very toxic, and in a division which I think, for the same reasons that Sherry just said, I do think that division is so hard to predict. And you look, they've got straight early in the season, the Chargers have got a road game against the Chiefs, home against the Jaguars team that I think could be pretty decent, road game against the Colts, home to the Saints, road game against the Raiders. I mean, all those division games in particular, they all start swinging the same way, and I think in the same way as what Sherry's saying in Oakland, if that happens in San Diego and they end up getting pounded at the beginning of the season, I think he could go. But the one that I was actually going to say is Jim Caldwell.
Me too. Well done, Paolo.
Yeah, I sort of think that in the end, you've got to think a little bit as well about which of these organisations is most the sort of dumpster fire that would fire a head coach after 3 games in a panic? Probably Detroit.
I kind of feel like the Lions, they are in a rebuilding mode as it currently stands, because they finally got rid of those big contracts at the top end of their roster in Ndamukong Suh and Calvin Johnson. Yes, they've still got Matt Stafford's contract there, but if Stafford under Jim Bob Cooter continues to play like he did in the last 6-7 games of last season, he'll be a surprise this year for many people and will actually end up as like a top potentially 12 quarterback, and no one will expect that from him necessarily. But I think the Lions are actually going to be okay this year. I just think they're in a really, really tough division.
And again,
you have Paolo named the head coaches of the 2 teams that I think everybody is writing off this year, who might be a little bit better than people think.
Yeah, I very much so.
I think San Diego signed some nice players in the off-season, got a lot of players back. And the Jim Bob Cooter thing is legitimate. Like, it wasn't just that Stafford looked better, it was the fact that he tailored the offense around getting the ball in playmakers' hands, and they get another playmaker in Marvin Jones, who I actually really like. And I could see both of those teams doing better than expectations, but I think the point you're hitting on is the fact that because nobody is expecting much of them, if it does go badly as expected, then those guys could easily get fired fairly quickly.
Exactly. I'm with you, less so on the Lions, but I'm definitely with you on the Chargers. I think it's plausible to me that the Chargers could do all right in that division, but I think that division's so hard to call that if they end up being the team that sinks, they're going to be, I think that they're one of the teams who would sack a coach mid-season.
And as we talked about in the news, the NFC North has just gone nuts in the past 7 days, so who knows what's going to happen there. Let's finish off our negative awards section by taking our... Come on, Ollie, get on it. There we go. Our number one overall pick in 2017. Who is going to be the first name announced in Philadelphia by Roger Goodell?
Boo!
Yeah, so, taking the draft to Philadelphia was nuts, wasn't it? Like, they've now got a first-round pick as well, which I think almost the NFL went, it's fine, they haven't got a first-round pick, he won't be booed that badly. But now they've got a first-round pick back as well, it's even worse for Goodell. He's just a glutton for punishment.
Do you reckon he turns up in his cash Saturday wear on the first night?
I reckon he's going to have a Rocky headband.
I already kind of know the direction that a few people are leaning on this, so I'll throw it to Matt Sherry. Matt Sherry, who do you think's picking first overall next year?
There's no direction. I think you should move on to the next segment and accept there's a consensus and we don't need to talk about it.
So it's the 49ers, right?
No, it's the Browns, isn't it?
I've got the 49ers down, Paolo's got the 49ers down, and Ollie has got
the Lions.
The Lions! Ooh, wow! Ooh. That's actually some NFC North hatred, or do you really think they're going to fall apart?
A little bit, but I think they're going to fall apart.
You love Marvin Jones.
What me with Ollie here is there's a real connection between his choices. Caldwell's gone as the coach.
Yeah.
And they're getting the first overall pick. He's actually thought about it logically.
Yeah, exactly.
And he only threw his thoughts together in the last 20 minutes. That's the really funny thing. The rest of us spent ages on it today. We're done with negativity. Let's get on to positivity. Roll the music and let's get to our... Rookie of the Year! Not called Ezekiel Elliott! So it does feel like Zeke Elliott has been already ordained at least the offensive rookie of the year, if not the overall rookie of the year. So away from Zeke Elliott, who do you think is going to be the one to watch out for? I'm looking to you, Paolo Bandini.
I see. I've written down a bunch of names here because I couldn't decide. So now,
going to you, Ollie Hunter. Call. Then you whittle down your list. Ollie.
I've written down a bunch of names here and I couldn't quite decide. I'm going to defer this to Matthew Sherry.
You lot are ridiculous, Matt Sherry. Give me one name.
I'd like to Dak Prescott, I think, because I don't think Romo will come back healthy. I think even if he comes back, he'll get injured again. I'd like to go for Sterling Shepard if that doesn't happen.
Okay, Sterling Shepard. Do we think that the double coverage taken by Odell Beckham and the imminent return of Victor Cruz, as we're all expecting, is just going to be situational for him? He's going to be taking those targets.
Is that me? I'm just asking
you what you're thinking is.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. The Cruz one's interesting because I think Paolo Bandini last played for the London Monarchs and that was more recent than the last time we saw Victor Cruz play. I don't know, so it's going to be really interesting to see whether he's actually still any good. I mean, most importantly, it's going to be interesting to see whether he can still salsa better than anybody else in the NFL, but... I think Shepard's awesome. He was one of my favourite players in the draft. I think he goes to a team where he'll get a lot of action because there's going to be so much focus on Beckham Jr. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a big year.
Right, I've only got one name, so I'll do me next, and then we'll go to the two people who were indecisive. I've gone with Miles Jack, the linebacker out of Jacksonville. I actually think Jalen Ramsey has a bigger direct impact on this defence.
I think, one of the names on my list who I was leaning towards was Ramsey. I think the difference with Jack and Ramsey is just that Ramsey looking more like to start right away. Jack is possibly not going to be straight away, but he's a beast.
Here are my thoughts on why I think he would be more likely to get the award is because Jalen Ramsey, there's potential there that if he looks really good early on, they're not going to throw in his direction, and he'll only look good in PFF type metrics about not getting thrown to and stuff, whereas Miles Jack goes into a team where he could easily, if he gets in there within the first few weeks, could rack up the most tackles, the most passes defended by a linebacker, that he could go stats nuts, assuming his knee
injuries, and he might carry a couple of snaps on offense as well.
The thing is, assuming his knee is okay and he remains healthy, he can cover running backs, he can cover tight ends. The Jags were dreadful at both of those last year, and I just think he's got the right situation that he could end up looking phenomenal down the stretch and catching the eye, as it were.
Should Dante Fowler be allowed to be the Rookie of the Year?
Should he be allowed to be Comeback Player of the Year?
Well, it's a
That's a great question. Exactly. If you never came in the first place, are you allowed to come back? That's a great question.
I mean, he literally, I think he had about 10 minutes of the first rookie minicamp. He's a rookie, isn't he?
Yeah. And they're adding, I know it's the equivalent of three rookies that they're relying on, but all they're adding on defence, it's very exciting. So you could consider him a rookie. I'd kind of give you that, and yet I wouldn't give you Kevin White because I don't like the Bears. Paolo,
like that.
Right, I'm just gonna since you've now mentioned Ramsey, I'm going to make my Homer pick, which is Robert Nkemdiche.
Okay,
Cardinals defensive tackle.
Paolo.
What?
He's been great in pre-season.
Well, he missed the beginning of it, but he came in against Denver. Yeah. He looked like a monster, and I'm a total homer, so let's go with him. I think he's a beast. He's going to be a very violent, disruptive player in this league. Whether it happens in his rookie year, we'll see. He's got a bit of an ankle thing going on, but I'm hopeful.
And straight up pass rush would be really useful in that division as well. So.
Well, absolutely. And they've been working on the defense line the last couple of years. I mean, obviously there's a couple of guys there like Corey Redding who are getting a bit older, but I think that with Chandler Jones coming off the edge now, there's so much more potential for disruption, and hopefully that creates even more opportunities for the guys inside.
And I think Chandler Jones is an interesting thing to point out there, because actually I think you'll see Chandler Jones' straight-up production look more impressive because of the style of the Cardinals' scheme, even if he's not playing better than he did when he did play in New England. But I think he will have the kind of the flashy type plays will happen for him more often, hopefully. And
he's a really interesting guy, because he had a real bad habit with the Patriots of being terrible in important games, and especially against decent tackles. However, I am interested to see, in New England, notoriously, it's stop the run first, rush the pass a second. That's not going to be the case for Chandler Jones in Arizona. So I'm interested to see if he looks any better in Arizona, because I don't think he's as good as people think he is. But was it scheme, or is it the fact that he's just a solid, if unspectacular, edge rusher? It's going to be interesting to see that, I think.
Player leaves the Patriots. Matt Sherry doesn't rate him.
Curtis Capriles.
Bears fitting words.
Yeah, well, but we'll continue on that day.
Ollie, have you managed to whittle yours down on your favourite rookie this year?
Oh, yeah.
Go on then.
I'm going for a guy that hasn't even put on pads yet.
Okay.
Joey Bosa.
Really?
I think he's going to. No, he's not injured. He's fine.
I'm fairly certain he suffered some kind of soft tissue injury today.
That, it wouldn't be as well. He had tightness today and did miss practice. That's only happened in the last hour or so. So could catch Sherry. But that's going to happen because he's missed so much of pre-season that he's going to suddenly come in to guys who are going at full speed ready for week one. And he's not going to be ready to go. And this is the whole point of his rookie holdout being so ludicrous, is that it's going to take him until week 6, 7, 8 before he's ready to be full speed.
I will counter that. He's fresh. You know, he's...
It's only
pre-season. We mustn't look too deeply at pre-season. I think, realistically, Miles Jack was the one I was going for. But I think Joey Bosa, if he manages to get fit, obviously the Chargers defense will see a lot of playing time, and that could be more.
You can pick the same player as me, just so you know. Just letting you know for future reference.
Vernon Hargreaves has been fantastic for Tampa Bay in pre-season. He's a guy to watch.
He has indeed. Let's go, right, come on, because we are dragging our feet and we need to get on to some of the big ones, but let's do our comeback player of the year. And I'm going to go to Ollie first. I feel like Ollie's probably got the same name as me and definitely not the same name as Matt Sherry. So, Ollie Hunter, your comeback player of the year.
Well, I've got two.
How hard is it?
I will go for, because I believe in his talent and I really like him, Arian Foster.
Ooh, okay. He will be starting for Miami this weekend.
Starting for Miami, I think it's about time that he has a fit season. I reckon it will be him.
Paolo Bandini, I'm quite happy to roll through these because I'm down with that. There's no argument.
Even with the suspension, unless he gets injured again, it'll be the best running back in the league, Le'Veon Bell.
He
played 6 games last year.
Yeah, but a lot of that was suspension-based. It comes back to our argument about whether suspension should be comeback.
I mean, he got injured.
He got injured for... Yeah.
Well,
He got injured for the last part of it.
Yeah, he was injured for the last half of the season, basically.
Yeah, I just anyone who's had any suspension.
All right, if you won't let me have that, no, then I'll give you Jordy Nelson instead. Calm down. I'm having Levy and Bell.
You've got Levy and Bell. Chill your boots.
I forgot about Jordy Nelson.
I've got Jordy Nelson. The drop-off in the Packers' offense last year was horrendous after his ACL injury. And whilst that had a lot to do with the play calling, I'm sorry, I've got to agree with Josh Sitton on this. I think he makes a big, big difference to Aaron Rodgers and to that offense. Matt Sherry.
The Honey Badger.
Oh, that's the right choice. Damn it.
Hang on. See, I love the Honey Badger, and we all know this, but the Honey Badger, in terms of games missed far fewer games for injury than Le'Veon Bell.
I've given you Le'Veon Bell. Will you calm down, mate? Will you calm down over there? And he's going to miss more games with suspension this year. I've given you Le'Veon Bell, but I've said I think that the Honey Badger's the right choice. I don't like agreeing with Matt Sherry. You know that. And I've said he's made the right choice here.
Yeah, I think so.
Good.
Sorry, guys.
It's not as easy as last year, though, was it, when we all picked Sam Bradford?
to be fair, he was great in the second half of the season, wasn't he?
Let's get on then and do... This was one of my favourites last year, and I'd like to go a bit more in-depth on this one. Our surprise All-Pro. So this is a player who... is going to emerge as the best at his position, despite the fact you wouldn't expect it. And let's start with Matt Sherry on this one, your surprise All-Pro, sir.
I've got two, one offence, one defence.
I've been slagging everyone off for having two. I've got one offence, one defence as well. So go on, Sherry, give us both.
Alan Robinson will be an All-Pro, the Jaguars wide receiver.
It's one of those ones, it doesn't feel that surprising because we've seen how good he's been, but then
The calibre of guys who don't get in because of that, and you've got Antonio Brown as a locked-in All-Pro because he's going to get, like, 1,900 yards again, and Julio as well, so it's kind
of... And Odell Beckham,
It's just such a stacked position, and he's kind of a younger guy. My next one is a little bit wilder, but definitely a homer pick. Jabal Sheard, the edge rusher from New England.
Is he missing any time at the start of this year? I know he did have an injury, but
yeah,
I don't know.
I think he's going to be healthy for the start of the season. And he's amazing, and it's going to be frustrating because he's then going to sign a monster contract elsewhere after this season. But, yeah, he's going to get double-digit sacks, I think. That's my other guy.
It's all right. You did say that Melvin Ingram would lead in sacks last year, so I'm okay with your defensive guy being wrong. Okay, how bold do you want me to go here? Because my defensive guy I didn't think was too bold. I went with Ryan Shazier, and the injury actually today to Bud Dupree adds to that for me. The reason I think it is it's a surprise is because you just look at who else is in the linebacker position. You almost feel like Sean Lee and Navarro Bowman could only play 8 games this year and would somehow still get voted in as an All-Pro. But I think he was brilliant down the stretch last year. They really jumped up the rankings and points allowed. He was a big part of that, and I think he could be an All-Pro linebacker this year. And my offensive player...
I quite like that. I'm sorry, I do like that.
...is Eli Manning.
Well...
Stunned silence. Well. I love it.
I mean...
I think Eli Manning could absolutely stun everyone this year with the offensive pieces that are there and have a ridiculous year. I think he might have to be winning games like 45-40 because I don't think all of those new pieces are going to fit together on the defence. But genuinely, Sterling Shepard, Odell Beckham full year. He looked brilliant in Ben McAdoo's offence last year. He's had another year to learn it. I think Eli Manning could have his very best season of his career. And with Tom Brady missing 4 games and with Ben Roethlisberger bound to get injured at some point, I just think that there is the potential for a surprise quarterback in that position this year. And that's what I went for.
So you're just going to ignore Cam Newton, Russell Wilson?
Cam Newton will have a drop-off from last year. Russell Wilson, we've had this conversation on the podcast a few times. If what he did down the last 8 games of last year gets extended, well, not even last 8 games, 6 of the last 8 games because he fell back off in the playoffs. But if he does that pocket passing and does it well again, I'll sit here and I'll call him one of the best 3 quarterbacks in the league. I just need to see it first. If he does it, fine. No problem with it. But right now, I'm just not quite on that hype train yet.
I think Eli Manning will be the most sacked quarterback in the NFL this year.
I think that'll probably still be Ryan Tannehill, to be honest.
I think it'll be Eli. Their tackles are dreadful.
Paolo Bandini. I said we wanted a surprise.
Well,
bold.
That's it. You know what? And you know what? I wanted to rip you for it, and then I thought, you know what? My pick is also a bit wild, so I respect the boldness. I mean, he's not going to be an All-Pro quarterback, like that, but then my guy's not going to be an All-Pro either. Nevertheless, I'm going to say him because it would be brilliant in a sort of stupid way if he was Josh Gordon.
Because
Josh Gordon, coming back from suspension with Robert Griffin III, he only knows how to throw one pass. He only knows how to throw the pass that's the really long pass. Josh Gordon's really good at chasing the really long pass and bringing it in. He's going to have 1,600 yards in 13 games or 12 games, however many he gets. It's going to be great.
It's a great show.
He's also the best wide receiver in NFL history, isn't he? Like, the amount of games that he's played and the games that he's produced. So, why not?
Yeah. Oh, you're saying why not to that? Unbelievable. Ollie Hunter.
I'm going Jeff Janis. Return specialist.
That's actually worse than your Dwayne Allen pick.
Return specialist. Special teams.
Oh, you've gone for a
special teams all pro.
I'm not sure we can allow a special team all pro pick for this.
Why not? What's wrong with that?
Because technically you're playing within the rules, but it still feels dirty.
It's a great one.
You're like those people who defended all the Deflategate nonsense because they went, but does it really matter that much?
How's that the same as that?
It's not really similar, like, Will, I must admit.
Good, right.
I personally want Ollie to be allowed to have that. I think it's ingenious.
I think he deserves it. I think he's done well.
Yeah, see?
You're a disgrace.
I think he's the most, likely to be right.
Technicality douchebag.
I was going to go for Cairo Santos. But I went Jeff Janis.
Right, let's pick him then. Let's see how far off we can be this year. Some of us did quite well last year. I got 8 of 12. I think Sherry got 6 of 12. Simon Clancy did terribly, but he did pick the Dolphins to go to the Super Bowl. So,
should we start? Should we build up? Like, let's go for our, who's going to be the 5 that make the division and then...
Excuse me?
Well, rather than go Super Bowl first...
The 5 that make the division?
Yeah. Make the conference playoffs.
But even then, that's still 4.
That's right. There's literally no category in which it can be 5.
Yes, there is. Do we do the divisional conference, the conference champions as well?
But there isn't. It's a knockouts tournament. At no point can 5 teams be involved at any point.
You're not listening to me. So we do those. There are 5, and then there's obviously the ones that win the conferences. So that would be the Super Bowl winner and the runner-up. That's what I mean.
Yeah, I think we just do our picks and then do our Super Bowl. You've confused it.
I'm so confused.
I've kind of understand. What he's doing is saying, let's say our 5 teams that will make the playoffs but not make the Super Bowl from both conferences.
Okay. Right.
And then name our,
like,
Super Bowl
for
teams.
A bit of drama, for a bit of tension.
This is live production and
it's not worked.
Not worked. I just want to hear from everyone, AFC, NFC, and who's going to be their Super Bowl teams and who's going to be their Super Bowl winner. So starting off with Matthew Sherry, AFC, NFC Super Bowl teams, please.
Oh, are we not doing division winners?
Yeah, well, do your 4 division winners, your 2 wild cards, and then let's get each of us to do it, and we will pick apart any ones that we don't agree with or agree with particularly.
Okay, so AFC North, Pittsburgh, East New England, Houston South, Oakland West, Minnesota NFC North, Cowboys East, Panthers South, Seahawks West. And then my wild cards would be, I haven't even prepared this, Jacksonville.
Yep.
And San Diego.
I cannot believe the Bengals aren't making the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's stunning.
That's wild.
Believe it, mate.
Believe it.
And your NFC wild cards, this should be interesting.
I am going to go for Arizona.
Yep.
As the obvious home pick. And I'm going to have to go for Green Bay as well, begrudgingly.
Fair. Okay. I think overall that was reasonably sensible. I don't understand the Bengals. And the AFC West is the fascinating one. I want to hear what everyone's going to say on that. So your Super Bowl teams?
The New England Patriots, obviously. And I honestly think it'll be Patriots Seahawks again.
Patriots Seahawks again, and I imagine it's a Patriots win, right? Obviously.
Can I just check? Has there ever been a year, and I don't know because you've listened back, it may have been last year, that Sherry has not predicted the Patriots to win the Super Bowl?
Well, we've only been doing it with Sherry for 2 years.
The Seahawks won. I picked the Seahawks. I think I picked them to beat the Patriots.
Oh, there's the Patriots there against, wasn't it?
Let's go to another man who might pick his own team. Paolo Bandini, what do your playoffs look like?
Right, AFC East, New England, AFC North.
You don't need to name the divisions every all time. Right, just tell us the four. Come on.
All right.
Dragging this out.
Yeah, so AFC, Patriots, Steelers. I haven't prepared this. I'm just winging it. I'm going to go with the Colts. And then the Chiefs.
Yep.
I will have as my wild card teams Cincinnati and Jacksonville.
Yeah, everyone's going to have Jacksonville going to the playoffs, and I love it.
I will have in the NFC some dirge from the East. The Giants, the Packers, the Panthers and the Seahawks are my division winners. And then I think I'm still going to have the Vikings as a wild card team, and I'm going to have the Cardinals as a wild card team.
And your Super Bowl?
My Super Bowl will be a Seattle win over Pittsburgh.
Can I switch out San Diego for Baltimore, please?
Oh, he's making the switch, and he's bringing in Baltimore. He's trolling us at this point. This is ludicrous.
What is an absolute disgrace.
He's got the second best coach in the NFL, haven't they?
That is true. Yeah. That is true. That team will be better than 5-11 this year, and that'll be a hell of a division because of that. He's a brilliant coach, and even with as old as that team is getting and as beat up
as I was going to say, the injury problems have already started racking up again already. That's the problem, isn't it? And the age is there as well. I think the Ravens get better this year. I don't think they make the playoffs.
They lost most of their games by single digits last year, despite being, I think, the second most injured team in the NFL. Mm. They're always going to play every game close.
Yes.
I think they're going to be much better, and I can see why you would say that maybe the second AFC North team doesn't even get in because it's such a tight division, they beat each other up. But I think the Ravens will improve to more like 8-8, 9-7. That's why I think.
That's around the area I had them. Ollie Hunter, AFC.
AFC. Patriots, Raiders, Bengals, Jags.
Jags are the winners. Love that.
And my wild cards are the Steelers and the Jets.
Ooh. No Texans.
Nope.
Oh, and then you're NFC.
Brick Osweiler's going to shit a brick, basically.
Brick Osweiler.
And you're NFC.
NFC, I've gone Packers, Seahawks, Panthers, Washington. And my wild cards are the Cardinals and the Bucks.
I've got the Bucks down as a possibility. I've been umming and ahhing with the Bucks. I really like them.
Or the
this
Falcons,
year.
But I've just gone.
Oh, I haven't got the Falcons.
I've gone Bucks.
Okay, your Super Bowl pick?
Green Bay.
Yeah, against.
Who was Paolo's Super Bowl pick?
Mine. I had the Seahawks over the Steelers.
Okay. Green Bay will beat the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game and then beat the Patriots in Houston.
I'd love that.
And the MVP will be Aaron Rodgers, just despite you, Sherry.
The way Ollie says it makes me think that he's not really envisaging a football game. He's envisaging a white knight clearing a dark cloud at the end, and Sauron retreating. I don't know. Like it's more of a
the Sauron of Sherry.
Is that white knight Jeff Janis,
the All Pro specialist returner Jeff.
He's going to return three kicks for touchdowns. He's going to a kickoff, a punt, and
a missed field goal.
A missed PAT, yeah. You're going to return that for 2 points, but that's fine. That'll do. Right, I've got in the AFC the Bengals, the Patriots, the Texans, and the Chiefs as my division winners, even though I just said earlier that the Chiefs are too much of an ifs team. I've then got as my wild cards the Jags and the Steelers. In the NFC, I have the Packers. The NFC East is ridiculous, isn't it? If Romo hadn't gone down, I would have had the Cowboys. I've gone for Washington. I don't like it. The Panthers and the Seahawks. My wildcard teams are the Arizona Cardinals, and prepare for Ollie to turn my mic off, the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, I nearly went for the Bears as well. We'll love that.
He's actually turned my mic off.
He has turned the mic off.
Joking. Put it up. I have, in the last few days, the Josh Sitton trade, again, I know it's an interior lineman, but I just, after that trade, I went and I looked at the Bears roster and I thought about the fact that they had the...
Jay Cutler,
who had his best season last year under Adam Gase. They brought in an offensive coordinator who he buys into, who he's been there in the past, who's using Gase's system. I think with the Vikings going down, there was no way they were going to do it when the Vikings were looking as good as they were. With Teddy Bridgewater going down, the Bears are going to the playoffs. And then I've got my Super Bowl, the Cardinals coming from a wild card position to face the Cincinnati Bengals in two teams finally clearing their playoff hoodoos, the Cardinals winning, Carson Palmer lifting the MVP trophy high above the Houston Oilers Stadium.
You are a ridiculous human being.
I think you missed the
Houston
bit.
Oilers.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
You've missed the bit where Carson gets injured and is replaced by Willie Beeman.
Very nice.
Good.
I've only begrudgingly even picked the Cardinals to make the playoffs, Paolo.
No, I'll be honest with you. I think
have
we all picked them.
We can probably lose this music now, Ollie.
Yeah. We all picked them second in the division, didn't we? I am worried. I'm a little bit worried about the Cardinals this year. I think that it bothers me that Carson tailed off so badly at the end of last year. I thought at the time it was just a thumb injury, but he has. I don't want to read too much in the preseason, but he has looked bad in preseason. Yeah, it worries me. It does bother me.
For me, it'd be a mental issue over a physical issue. I think that he has the tools and the weapons and everything around him to be a good team. They've still got a great defence.
But the defence is great and the running game should be good. So they shouldn't be a bad team even.
The reason I have the Seahawks over the Cardinals is I think the Seahawks, it'll be a repeat of last year, but with the two teams flipped, where the Seahawks will start strongly, the Cardinals won't, but that they'll grow into the year and then grab a wild card slot like the Seahawks did. That's my feeling on it. And then I fancy the Cardinals to go all the way because I really like Bruce Arians.
I love Bruce Arians. I love him even more after watching All or Nothing because he swears a lot.
Considering I picked the Colts to go to the Super Bowl last year,
I'm
just
doomed.
Because I wanted to pick
a
fun team. Yeah. You're in trouble, mate. Yeah. That rounds it off, I think. Did we have any other awards we needed to get to? There were some
Twitter listener
ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, earlier on, which Paolo suggested I was being dismissive of. The listener awards. Simon Noble asked us the best Colour Rush unis. I think we haven't seen them yet, have we?
We haven't seen them, but I
#kitwatch.
I mistakenly brought up last year's ones, and the Rams ones were great. Yellow with dark blue rammy bits, loved it.
So with how long
I can't think about Colour Rush without thinking back to that harrowing
don't
time
do it
when I
don't do it man
on the Gridiron account
don't
and
do
I hope
it
he's listening again. You mentioned earlier on
never want to see that again, never want to see that again. If people don't know what we're talking about, don't worry, you're in a better place than any of us are.
Absolutely.
So just to get some one-word answers from you, I'll fire it out to somebody as we go through them. Ross Oliver wants to know the first quarterback to lose their starting job. Matt Sherry.
Travis Simeon.
Fair. Okay. Yeah, that was actually very, very rapid fire, but very good answer.
Yeah.
Jim McKinnon wants to know the surprise fantasy darling of the season. I've got one that will make Sherry really happy.
Go on.
Chris Hogan.
Yeah, like that.
As a late round flyer, I'm not suggesting he's going to be the top dog, but actually he looked really good in the last couple of preseason games, and the cuts they made yesterday or the day before, whenever cuts day was, suggested to me that they want him as a big part of their offense. I think he'll see a lot more snaps than people are expecting.
7-11.
I've got one, and I get him poo-pooed for repeatedly drafting him.
Oh, get over it.
Kelvin Benjamin.
You need to get over this. You picked him a round early yesterday to prove a point. And that was...
Just to annoy you, actually.
Annoy me as much as you want. Your team is bad because of it. Not
bollocks.
Bad, but worse because of it. Simon Davis asked the most fragile player. That's got to be Victor Cruz, hasn't it?
Is he even still a player?
Is he alive?
Do we know that for sure?
He's not even allowed. He doesn't salsa dance. Sky asked him to salsa dance on camera and he refused to do it. I think he then did do it later when he warmed into it, but clearly first thing in the morning he was not in the mood for it.
Was it Graves?
It might have been, maybe
he hurt him as well, but he is a big cowboy, told me.
Brilliant. Alex Metcalf wants to know the first player to get ejected for two personal foul penalties.
There's only one answer, isn't there, for that?
What, Aqib
Talib?
Yeah.
Of course.
Did you see his hit? I only saw it because of Hard Knocks. I didn't see it because I watched the Rams in pre-season.
On Case Keenum.
His hit on Case Keenum as he was going out of bounds. He was already a foot out of bounds and Aqib Talib came from a good 10 yards away and just cleared him out. And it was one of the worst hits I've seen, and it was pre-season. It was fast.
The worst hit I've ever seen was that LSU guy against Wisconsin on Saturday. That was a disgrace. Did anybody see that?
Yeah, we've already talked about it, mate.
Oh, boy. Sorry, Ollie.
But it was a...
disgrace.
bringing in the Brazil, I love it. Skull Hulk wants to know the obsolete player, the star who's going to switch teams and fail because of it.
Josh Sitton.
Oh. Chandler Jones.
It got personal.
Who left the 49ers this offseason? Nobody of note because we're a terrible team. I don't have a personal one. Do you have one over there?
I mean, can it be DeMarco Murray again? Is that too cruel?
Continue to be obsolete. Mike White wants our Hero to Zero award, the biggest fall from grace. Kind of a similar award, but they don't have to have necessarily moved teams. Who is going to drop off in a big way compared to their 2015 performance? Carson Palmer?
Oh, that's what I'm worried about. Yeah, that's what's Palmer in my head. I'm worried about it.
I've just made him MVP, but I haven't heard everyone else's thoughts on it. Apparently, it's going to be Carson Palmer, Mike White.
Blaine Gabbert.
Has he ever been a hero?
Well, a little bit.
He had one really good touchdown run. One really good touchdown run.
Okay.
I don't know if this has been mentioned earlier on the show, but how skinny is Colin Kaepernick now?
He's lost so much weight.
And he's got really big hair.
It's all gone into his hair, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Kelly loves him as well, doesn't he? He's going to be the star by week four.
Fine. Somebody's got to be, haven't they? And Neil Dutton, in fact, asked the very same sort of question, the Peyton Manning Award for the star player most likely to lose it. Why does everyone want us to predict the downfall of NFL players?
Does it end with the Super Bowl? Because that, again, could be Carson Palmer and really round up our predictions nicely, couldn't it?
Tom Brady.
It should be Brady one of these, yeah.
It's going to happen. As we were saying before we came on, sooner or later it has to happen. Sooner or later. It may be later, but sooner or later.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yeah, because it does have to happen at some point. Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Right, we have... This is the longest podcast in the history of man. This has got absolutely ridiculous at this point. But we do have some real football happening on Thursday night. It's the first time the Super Bowl has been... The Super Bowl replay has been the opening game of the season since 1978. I can't remember what it is. I read the stat
68?
Earlier. I thought it was 70 or what 78. I had both of those in my head, so maybe it was 68. The Chiefs were involved, I think. But it's a very, very long time since it's happened. The Panthers going up against the Broncos. We know that the Broncos obviously lost some ridiculous pieces during the offseason. They're also going to have Trevor Siemian under quarterback, under centre. This is set up, surely, for the Panthers to come and spoil the Super Bowl party in Denver.
Yes.
Bandini.
Yeah, I said the Panthers win this game.
I think I was the only one who predicted that Denver would win the Super Bowl.
Are you going to predict they're going to win the season opener?
No, they're going to get beat. No, it's a tight one. I think they're going to win.
Oh, you can't get this flip-flopping nonsense.
I'm committed with Denver. I just think the mile-high factor, I've heard how loud it is in that stadium firsthand. It's crazy. It'll be absolutely bouncing in there, so... I think the defence will regress, but I think they'll kind of rekindle the fire for that one opening night game.
I think for me, that's a little bit like Cam Newton. I think Cam Newton regresses on last season, but only because I can't imagine him putting up 35 touchdowns, 10 on the ground with only 10 interceptions, putting up the best offence in the league. You know, they were just such ridiculous stats that I can't imagine him hitting those heights again, but I still think he'll be up there as one of the best quarterbacks. And the problem is that defence in the Super Bowl just completely figured them out and they offered absolutely nothing new.
And what's interesting is we all praised Mike Shula before the Super Bowl, and you kind of understand his thinking that this has worked every week, it's going to work again, but... What have the work done in the off season that's different to what we've seen? Because Denver did definitely figure that out in the Super Bowl, and it's interesting to see what they've come up with to counter what Denver did.
1970.
Right. Yes, yeah. Come on.
And it did involve Kansas.
And the Chiefs lost to Kansas City. They lost the Super Bowl but won the opener, I want to say.
I think so, yeah.
Come on.
It must have been Green Bay, wasn't it? 69,
no.
Green Bay. Was it Kansas City?
No, that was 67.
Didn't they play again in 69?
I thought, oh, yeah, they might have done.
Yeah, I think they played 1 and 3. So, this is ridiculous. This is
no,
just
Minnesota. It's Minnesota.
Well, they didn't win then, so it must have been the Chiefs. Oh, it must have been 2 then, because Chiefs won Super Bowl...
This is horrendous.
The Chiefs won the Super Bowl. The Vikings won the opener, having lost the Super Bowl. The same will happen on Thursday. The Panthers are going to go to Mile High and win. And this longest ever podcast is coming to an end. We will have another show either Friday or Saturday, seeing how we feel. We'll look back on the season opener and we will preview a whole slate of Sunday games. How exciting is that, gentlemen?
beyond exciting, isn't it?
How is everyone spending Sunday night? In their pants watching Red Zone. I made a colossal mistake, and I think this is the first time I've admitted this on the podcast, but I will admit it right now. I am going to see Radiohead in Berlin on Sunday night, thinking that it was the week before the season started, not the week that the season actually started.
That's a little awkward.
So I will be watching game replay in the hostel we're staying in on the crap Wi-Fi when I get back.
That's garbage, Will.
Yep. I know.
I'm going to go
I've spent money on it now, so I'm doing it.
I'm going to the Hippodrome. If anyone wants to join me, I'll be there on my own. A couple of people are coming down, come and say hello. Paolo, if you fancy it, you're more than welcome. You're probably busy with your life and wife.
It's a distinct possibility. I haven't made a plan, which means that at the moment the plan would be sitting at home on my sofa, and the Hippodrome could be better than that.
We're live making plans. This is wonderful.
It also means our review programme next week will probably be a little bit late as well, because unless you guys want to do it without me, I will not be doing it until Tuesday.
Just thinking about it. I'd happy to do it without him, Alec.
I deserve that. It's absolutely fair.
Yep.
So thank you very much for tuning in. As always, at Gridiron on Twitter. Get on iTunes, rate us on there as well. It helps us find more listeners. We're also on Stitcher, and we're on all your favourite podcast providers. Just search for The Gridiron Show if you want to subscribe. This is your first time listening. We've got plenty of big name guests to be coming up during the season as well. We've got the international series just a few weeks away, building up to that shortly as well. So many reasons to be excited. Football is back. Thank you for listening. This has been The Gridiron.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.